Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
What a great day it's been. What a great mood I'm in. Oh, it's almost like being in love.
What are you doing, like Vaughn Monroe? Did you mean for it to just be Echo?
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. What a great day it's been. What a great mood I'm in. Oh, it's almost like...
Hey, it's a mic drop moment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for Monday. I'm Mike. This is Rob. That's Josh. And we are here. And I promise I won't rant. I will, for the sake of argument, say I don't plan on flogging Rob today at all.
Isn't that a sexual euphemism?
Berating Rob.
Don't flog Rob.
Diminishing Rob or beating Rob up or persecuting Rob or
then how are we gonna fill
hurting Rob. And there you go. And there it is.
Thank you.
Right there. I have welcomed my wife back to the marital home after her business trip. And I'm here to tell you that she read all the social media about moi, and she got off the plane pissed at me. I've been receiving a tremendous amount of advice on how to move forward with my frustrations, and I get it. I am. I've laid out a couple of responses to people who have contacted me, and the whole debacle about the video and the audio. I've heard what you had to say. I understand it, and I just am here to tell you that I am a flawed human being, ladies and gentlemen.
Aren't we all, Mike?
And I mean, need love too. I need love too. I understand that that sometimes my emotions can get the best of me, and sometimes I can go over the top, and I am not proud of that, and I am not proud of the rants that I have occasionally. But I also like to think one thing. That I am self-aware of my flaws. I am aware.
It's the first step, man. It's the first step to getting to a better life. Being aware.
Thanks, Rob. I'm very, very aware that sometimes I go too far. So for the people that were concerned that I don't care about listeners, I do care. I also am aware that the people who are vocal, in many cases, are always vocal. But then there are exceptions to the rule where they feel the need to communicate. And I got both this time with that said. With that said, here's what we're going to change. Nothing. We're going to continue to do what we do, and we're going to take your advice about communicating when we play anything, audio, video, whatever, and just make sure that we remind ourselves that the vast majority of you do listen, and we will try to paint pictures, and in my curation of my videos and Rob's curation of his videos, we'll be mindful of sharing stuff with you that that you can not only enjoy as you're driving along in your car, but you can also probably go home and take a peek at it. None of the videos, at least not that I think, that I have. Yeah, the drumline one might be interesting today. But they're all stuff you can enjoy with your ears as well as your eyes.
This
so
is
that's
bad,
all I wanted to say.
Most of my videos today are fireworks.
Right.
So don't know if it's going to play
It's a step above the silent films you tried to do.
Yeah, well, you know I love Harold Lloyd.
And just a like sort of an old timey soundtrack with nothing else
except
right.
Subtitles. or whatever those title
well, I was
screens.
Hoping, oh, yeah, I was hoping that Josh would read those during the silent film clips, and that yes. way they come alive.
Chaplin. So, yeah, dude, I'm going to sneeze. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, no.
Those Charlie sneeze. Chaplin was a dick?
Yeah, I think so. I think he thought a lot of himself, and his stuff doesn't hold up as well as, say, your Harold Lloyd's or your Buster Keaton is brilliant.
Well, it's interesting you call him a dick, Rob, because the thing about it, and this is a good example here. When your name is on the masthead,
right?
And I tried to explain this to my wife over the weekend, that no matter how small a potato you are, and I right now would say I'm a fingerling. That's how I would describe the
delicious,
size.
Delicious, though.
Not in my opinion. Never liked them. Too starchy for me. Always didn't care. But that's another story.
Depends on the prep, I guess.
Okay.
Another time, yeah.
Just want to continue. The idea of the having the name out there has always been something that others in the arena have trouble understanding, I think, a lot of the time. That the idea that you take things personally, you do probably more so than other people associated with it. People will if it's directed at them, but if it's directed at the show per se, there's really only one person that takes it the most personally, and that's me. And
yeah.
I sometimes I overreact, and I'm aware of that. And if that offends people's sensibilities, I get it. I get it. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it in my personal life. I'm not proud of it in my professional life. It happens, and you know. And in the case of a lady who I articulated to the frustration that, and I welcome this open discussion, and I'm not doing
right.
this to berate.
Right.
I am doing this to explain that. In the course of many, many, many years, a guy that is no longer associated with the show, Ponyboy, and then to a much lesser extent, Rob, but he's done it too, the idea of, and you really haven't, Rob, as much, but you also sometimes silence is precipitating victimhood. And so in that way, Pony would do it. The best example would be when I was... when I was taken to task over the Japan incident, where
okay.
our listeners had provided Pony with a trip, and then he chose at the last minute to not go on it, and I went over the top because I was that upset,
right.
because I really felt all of us had benefited from these amazingly generous things. Oscar has benefited from the listeners. I have benefited the listeners. Amazing engagement.
Yeah. Of course.
Rob has benefited from the listeners. Amazing level of engagement. So in Pony's case, it would just be sitting there and not really answering. And so this is one of the greatest personality flaws I have. When I get silence on the other end from either Pony or Rob, I tend to continue to spiral into this raging that
well,
I
you
do,
come
and
from,
I'm not
I
proud
mean,
of it.
I think it comes from the fact that you are a family not of berating each other, certainly, but a family of discussion and a family
and
of arguing.
It's on the mind, it's on the sleeve.
Yeah,
and
that's how you
there.
Were brought up, and so you don't like to be unchallenged or non-debated when you present an issue. And it does. It intensifies
No, that's
your...
not necessarily accurate. It's just that everybody that I dealt with in my family would be, you know, just hyper opinionated, and
okay.
everybody had it figured out. It's my family. It might be a New England thing too, because a lot of people I know up there are the same way, and I think a lot of people in the United States are the same way now. So,
does your family just argue just to argue? Like they like you all know you love each other, and it's not no one leaves angry, but it's just an argument.
No, I would say okay. my family tends to be opinionated. To a fault, where and I don't like the word judging, but it does feel like that because everybody has an opinion about everybody and everything, and I don't want to say they've got it all figured out, but they've got it, you know, sitting there, and that causes you to be opinionated and judgmental yourself, and figure like you know what's in somebody's head, where there's very, very little time that you do know what's in somebody else's head.
So,
but it doesn't
so
make
weird,
you shut
Mike,
up.
Because growing up, I can clearly remember as a boy the one time I saw two of my uncles and my grandfather get into it over politics and really like raising voices and yelling at each other. And it was so unlike our family. That's not what we did, that it actually upset me. I remember it so clearly. And it's just, we come from very different styles of families, I guess, because we didn't argue stuff like that.
I think it comes from the way you're brought up and the way, you know, you do that. And so sometimes when, you know, when Rob or in Pony's case with the Japan, where they're just sitting there and not saying anything. And Rob gave me a little back on the rant about the one the other day when I was ranting about the video. And, you know, Rob was trying to help me. He was trying to get on there and say, hey, listen, you want to do that? I was so pissed at the idea of trying to freshen things and keep something new. And I responded to what is a sincerely small fraction of the vocal audience and went off on it. And it has never, in my opinion, and I really do believe this, fights between us on the show can get lots of energy and that's fine. I have no problem with that when they're concerning us. When it involves the listeners or it involves me just having a rage out, I think I do more damage than good. I really do. In the long run, I really do. I think ultimately it doesn't help our cause at all.
But does it benefit your mindset? Because I think that's a lot of it where it comes
from. No, because the fallout is usually...
But at the time, when you're voicing... We always talk about the show being therapy.
You know, that's a good question, and the answer would be no to that, too, because when I do that, I don't feel good after I do it.
Okay.
I feel guilty after I do it.
How much?
Yeah, go ahead.
How much was this amplified last week with Carla being away?
Yeah,
a lot.
That's another thing.
I think. I speculate. I think
you had
probably,
nothing to diffuse it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Carla comes in, taps me on the shoulder, and says, "La la la, don't say this." But it was.
But you'd have someone else to vent to.
I have someone else to vent to, and I don't. You know, I'm coming in here to do it, and really the desire being to come in and try something different, to try it, to make it fresh, to do that was the goal. And compound that by whenever we are having a major event and hawking tickets out there,
right?
It's always tense for me leading up to that. And then once we are, you know, done with that part, we move on to something else and we have a great time on the weekend. The same thing can be said of at a live event where if I see somebody on the street leading up to the live event, it's really exciting and I get really, really jacked. If I see somebody that's hanging out, like I think a couple of New Orleans shows ago, we were all in the same joint together the night before. It was a blast. Post show, when Oscar and Rob would still have the bandwidth to go and chill,
yeah.
I have to point out that once that's done, that show up on that stage is laid out, run by, organized, put together, blood, sweat, and teared by me. And at the end of that live show, I am gone.
Spent.
I'm gone. I don't have it. And so even Carla would mention to me, you know, they all go, I said, they can. And it's something that I wish I was better at it. But I just, you know, little things like that happen. I am not doing poor, pitiful me here. I am trying to explain how... when you have your name on it, you kind of focus on it and you want it to be better. So even the slightest little slight on the show, especially when I'm not doing it to do anything but make it more interesting, really sent me into
It speaks to...
No, it should not, actually, you know, because directed at you. And then I get, you know, you were at least 60% of what... people were giving me crap about all weekend. And I said to one specific person not to be, you shouldn't be sorry. I mean, I ranted and I did what I do and I'm not proud of it when I do that. And there are times that, you know, over the years and the years that have been there, as I explained to one person, I was not completely good to you when I responded to this person. I was not completely mea culpa. I was a little bit of both. And I was said over the years, as well as, you know, being wonderful on the show, which you are, and fun and bringing that, behind the scenes, there have been, I would describe, and I use the word, kind of an overwhelming series of, like, mistakes and things not being followed up on that
sure.
has probably contributed to a great deal of frustration both by Oscar and by me. And that's just being honest. I don't know if I'm throwing you under the bus when I say that, but it was
I think most of them have been brought up on the air.
I mean, no, they haven't. That's the thing. I think you would like to say that, but to be honest with you, I don't think they have. I think that if we did it all the time for a period of time there, you know, there have been, you would agree that there were some roles that you and Pony were on for a while that were, you know, I mean, it was just tough. And yeah, sometimes we do bring them on the air, and I'm not proud of that, but we're such a small family
of
people here that, you know,
I like that you're using your apology to remind Rob how he slacked off many times.
I am. Just like, and I really wasn't offering an excuse other than an explanation of where my head was at. That spills over into the show sometimes. And it's, while I was responding to this one lady, I was just saying, but I really don't want to respond and say, hey, sorry, 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 without just laying out what happens. The buck stops with me. It ultimately does. It stops with me, and the brand stops with me. And if it's
Which speaks to anyone who ever says you don't care. You obviously care.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Over the top care, yeah.
You know, that I think anybody that's ever done something like this might get that kind of crap. We make do with less than a lot of other people that do this because of the nature of what we do. If we had a perfect world on this show, we would have different guests every day, and it would be a little fresher every day. So with the video content, and I want to make it real clear, what I'm doing with video content is it's not just to play a video and watch it with you. It's to play a video that we can comment on about our lives and what gasses us, what gets us going, and what we really like. And that is that's more content. Will it stay forever? I don't know. It's a lot. This is going to make people laugh. It's a lot of time. It's time consuming.
It is.
Would you agree, Josh, that it's a little bit time consuming to grab it?
I think, yeah, because, well, it's more of, I think, for you to pick out the right ones, because you're not just picking the next six videos that show up in your algorithm.
Exactly.
You're watching videos constantly and trying to decide which one would play well on the show.
Right. And so the idea of reacting the way I reacted is that my reaction to Rob, and I'm not saying it was fair at all, my reaction was he didn't take it at all personally. Well, of course he didn't. It's not his name, and it's not his idea of adding it. It was my name and my idea. So when he said, take a peek at the video, or just, and it had a kind of a gentle, I forgot how some people said it, it was me kind of saying, hey, man, you know, I'm the one that's taking all the crap for this. And we don't have a PR machine here. We don't have people that, you know, stick up for us or put that out there. It's why radio people have agents. Because you can't really say it for yourself unless you're certain political leaders. You have to kind of have somebody out there for you. And I'm not trying to be a dick here, but in my case, I have gone for a good chunk of my career with never having that person on air out front. You know, with Don and I were our own PR people, and we fought our own battles, and we did it that way. And people around us, you know, it's not their job. They're out there trying to, you know, they're still on the air. They're trying to further their own cause. And they've got healthy, strong egos as well. And I don't know, you know, I think that in my mind sometime, I say to myself, and this might just be pure paranoia, when you're not saying anything while I'm out there getting flogged by listeners, after Rob gets flogged on the air, no one's saying anything because why would they? F him. That's in my mind. They're saying, well, I did this. Of course no one's going to do that. It sounds disingenuous to it. And Rob, I don't know how, you know, what's in your mind. I don't profess to know what's in your mind, but I know that back in the day when Don would give me crap.
Right.
And then listeners would jump on Don for giving me crap, I'd feel two ways. The first way would be, oh, God, now he's going to be mad at me all over again. And the second was, man, I loved reading that. That's just the truth. That's the truth.
I think that you nailed it. I mean, it's the bitter and the sweet together, because you like having some support, but you know it's just sometimes it's just like, shut up, you know, let this fizzle out. I don't need that.
Did you feel like when you and Pony would be getting it that that the silent treatment where you would just not really respond to anything would be in any way, because this is helping me a little bit, beneficial to a degree, because that, you know, you don't have to say anything right now because you know that Oscar or Mike are appearing like a-holes and they will get the payback later.
No, I can't speak for Pony, of course. I can only speak for me. But when I had something to come back with, I would, because I know that being silent is not about moving the show forward. And that's what I like to do. I like to be here to support the show. Believe it or not, folks, I have a job. And that's it, is to make the show as listenable and as good as it can be. However, sometimes when you got two dynamic personalities coming down on you, boom, 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 it's tough to respond because it's an unfair matchup. And so sometimes if the silence is because I just had nothing to go with, I tried, you know, you try to kick back, but you have to admit, I mean, and we're in a different place now than we were, you and I, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And the dynamic of 2-on-1 is pretty tough to take. And you lived it for a long time too. And so sometimes it's just like you don't have anything you can say. So it was never, being quiet was never a strategy.
Well, let's be, if we're really pulling the curtain back, that there was a period of time where you and Don were in there and I was in there. It was you and Don over here and me over here. And it was done in a different way. It was done off air and it was done in a humorous way to a degree, but also... Right. You know, look what he did here, look what he did here, look what he did here. And you dealt with that all the time. And so that dynamic existed between you and me. At the end, we bonded over, you know, the fact that we both were on the receiving end, you more than me in many cases, because you do the same thing. You wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't see, if you got into a fight, it wouldn't be a fair fight because you would be lambast. And then I regret it when sometimes I'll come in and do the same thing, because it's not productive for you and it's not productive for me.
But I think also after 30 some years, it's built sort of into my intellectual DNA that there is a pecking order. There always has been. And we're partners now. That's true. But your name is on the show. Right. So, you know, it's not, I'm not boohooing.
But I would like to think one thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Right. I think that certainly in recent years, the most recent incarnation of the show as opposed to recent years, the dynamic off air is much different than it used to be.
100%. It's you know, the show is ever evolving. It's organic. It's different now than when it began, certainly, and it's changed exponentially that whole ride. I love this dynamic. I just think it's a happier, you and I are we've been doing this a long time together, and and it's good. I like it. So
But it, you know, the idea of when Josh came to work with us, I consciously said, you know, I'm going to handle things in such a way that that it's going to be non confrontational, because the confrontation and enough time has passed in the Oscar situation. The thing that brought everything to a head, although there were a lot of things behind the scenes, were the last day of Rob and I sitting there for better part of a half an hour waiting to go on the show, and no one contacting us or letting us know, and late. And that was always a problem. I mean, from the beginning, that was a problem for me. And then it got to be a problem for both of us, and then it just came to a head. And that was, you know, conflict, off-air conflict. That was just, you know, and it came to a head, and that was it. And that was all she wrote. That was the last thing that happened. I mean, we were, there are a thousand other things that that I could discuss and he could discuss, I'm sure. But ultimately, that was really what it is. And I don't think I'm speaking out of school, you know, by saying that's what precipitated the final breakup of the partnership. There's a lot of tension and a lot of that. And so when Josh came to work with us, I was like, if something's particularly, first of all, in all truth, it hasn't happened that much because Josh is very competent at what he does. And the only thing, you kind of lay it out there, and you just, the lack of gamesmanship is welcomed. That here it is. This is the way it is. I'm going here. I'm doing this, and that's it. And then
it goes back to Mike, as we said, that you know that we have sort of a built-in pecking order. And Josh doesn't. He came in fresh-minded, and he's just there's
don't
no
think it's all sweetness
diagram.
And light. Don't think it's all sweet. One of the worst audiences I've ever had on air. One of the worst audiences I have ever had. But I don't care.
He also
I'm
calls
the one
me.
That said I want to see him on camera every day because I like it. It makes me feel it's a warm blanket. I don't even require him to have his small little screen down there, but he likes it that way, and I'm comfortable, and that's for him. And it's also, you know, now that,
I also know if I do a large screen and if I'm not visibly laughing, I'm going to distract you.
That's true.
There it
so
is.
A lot of times I'll hide behind the mic, so you
there
don't know if I'm laughing or not.
There it is. There
so
it
I'm
is.
Always smiling, though.
Yeah, the thing is, though, it's just it's been a nice dynamic. So when I put that in there, I want more than anything else, and will take anything I can get to keep this thing fresh and fun and
fun, Mike.
That's all that really
that's
matters. So when I try
fun.
Something, and I didn't even think about it when I did it. I as far as I said, oh, this will be cool. This will be it didn't even enter my mind about the numbers of people that consume it audio wise. Because Rob's
I
been doing
you those numbers multiple times, to be fair.
But I didn't think about it even when we were doing it. You know what I mean? That's the way I looked at it. I was like, well, Rob's been doing you know, video forever, and we'll just expand it because it'll be more stuff to talk about.
Exactly.
That's all that entered my mind.
It's
so when a few select individuals had the reaction, it was I lit up because I was like, God, we're out here, we're hawking every day, we're getting in there, we're trying to get this thing you know, through 2024, which we hopefully have. And it just lit my candle.
Don't you have, I mean, do you want to reveal right now our Project 2025?
Project 2025 is that we will be fully, and I mean fully, animated. That's
and
right.
Nice.
This will now
like
be
Pixar.
A cartoon. This
yeah,
will
it's
be
not going to be like South Park.
Well,
it's going to look great.
That's going to screw up my budget for next year.
Yeah. That all those animations
expensive.
Are so expensive to put together. So that's where it was. And then over the weekend, I have had two opportunities to avoid social media. And ultimately, I can do even better with that, with not getting into the fray and getting into the mix of things and mentioning people by name. That's not cool. And I know that. It's not a fair fight to do that, either when I'm typing it or when I'm saying it on the show. I get it. I get the way. I will have plenty of stuff to bitch about and plenty of stuff to not get happy about that does not involve listener notes of people that have supported the show for a long time. There's plenty of material out there.
Yes.
So, you know, Carla was aware of this and got off the plane pissed. So
and
you
so
might
she
be really happy.
Tanned and rested when she got back from the left
she's
coast?
She's, I think, right. still mad at me. But not in
a horrible
way. How many
times did you say, I can't leave you alone?
Exactly.
Multiples.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I try to be self-aware. I'm aware of when I do things that I shouldn't do. And mm-hmm. so that's all I can say with this. I don't want to sound like the people that can't apologize, but I'm not happy that I did that the way I did that. And
I think we can edit the last 30 minutes together to get an apology out of there somewhere.
Yeah. It would sound like this. I am sorry.
You know, your snark, Soroka, well, your snark has improved exponentially since you joined us.
I did see someone wrote, "I'm sorry" on Facebook. Did you write that or did Carla go in there?
I wrote
you?
At one point. Early, I think it was early Saturday morning. I think it was.
That sounds about right.
I wrote, "I love you all. I'm sorry." Something like that.
Yes.
On the fan page.
I thought that was to me. Is that selfish?
No, it's not. There was a moment, and then I'm doing all this self-reflection. I'm saying,
sure,
calm down, don't let stuff, make sure you do what you're supposed to do. And then on Saturday afternoon, or maybe even Sunday afternoon, it was not at the moment. Mm-hmm. I went to my son's school's Friday night football game, and there was a sunset behind the stadium that was as spectacular as it gets. And
looked fake. It was so pretty. It looked fake. Yeah.
And a day later.
It took them 24 hours to edit it up.
Stop it.
You stop it right there. You stop it right there. Okay. I knew it was Sunday that I had posted it. You know, I knew that.
Right. You posted it on Saturday and said Saturday. Like a beautiful Friday sunset.
I said, God damn it, you're going to make me go into it.
It was my favorite post was someone going on there trying to correct you about the
No, that, okay, I'm glad that was your favorite post, ass. Yeah. Let me say what I enjoyed on. It.
I like the
I'm
fact
glad
that
you did. I'm really happy for you.
I knew, especially after the week, that it was going to upset you because obviously you knew it was Saturday.
True.
Of course I knew. I posted
you
it.
The picture from the day before.
That's exactly what I... Thank you. I'm glad you understood.
I looked outside. It wasn't even sunset yet here. So it couldn't be Saturday.
Way to go, right. Columbo.
So there it is. I'm bringing it up. And that's just the picture.
And also, Josh, if you would, every Monday on TMOS, will you please bring up your favorite post of the weekend? Maybe we can get it sponsored.
That one just stood out to me as...
All right, so a day ago, that's Sunday. It was Sunday or Saturday. It was Saturday or Sunday. And I write, Friday Night Lights in Southwest Florida. And the very, very first comment that I get on this, it's Saturday. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. Because it's like, you can't win. You cannot win.
All I pictured in my head when I saw that comment was you at home yelling at Carla across the house. I just apologize. This is what they're doing.
No, this is why you never apologize. Thank you, Todd. It was
so
yeah,
other
it's
than
Saturday.
That, pretty good
but how
weekend?
About my wife? How about my wife hopping on and saying, Todd, we know this was last night with a little smile. And then the people that laugh at it's Saturday, two I don't know. That means I blocked them. Here I am trying to go peace among the planets and I was ready
it's
to
be. It's a new day, Mike. It's a new day.
I was ready to be in a straitjacket after a few days of that. But isn't that a beautiful picture, though?
It is.
That is a gorgeous picture of that. Now, we've got a couple of seconds here, but I do have to mention this. I haven't really talked about it other than he's playing and he's playing well. And we have been weighing this. When my son said he wanted to play football.
Yeah.
My wife was decidedly against it. I was not enthusiastic for it. I didn't want to do it. But he really, 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 really wanted to play.
Isn't one of the big problems that he was afraid you'd bring him to the field on the wrong night? It's embarrassing when that happens.
He's having fun, isn't he, Josh?
Well, he's already writing his screenplay for Saturday Night Lights.
I hope to get, yeah, I'll get some of that Saturday Night Live. They've got that movie coming out. I'll grab some of that publicity.
This is, you know, this is going to take some time. I'll break here, and then when we come back, I'll tell you the whole football saga.
Oh, it's a saga?
It's a saga.
Wow.
With my son, because I can't, and then we'll do the roundtable.
I am proud to announce, Mike, this is the first day since Friday that my basement does not smell like burnt corn silk.
Oh, congratulations. I love that segment, by the way.
Yeah,
was that the bonus show?
That was the bonus show.
You didn't get the bonus show. You don't know what we're talking about, but shame. Shame, shame.
Shame.
Shame on you. College football is upon us, and that's great. But if you're really invested in a game, it's awesome. That's where MyBookie comes in. When I have some action going on, trust me, that's the best way to watch a game. And when you use MyBookie, you're not just betting on football, you're investing in your team for the season. Last year, MyBookie had some of the best odds on the market for the Wolverines to win the championship. Michigan bettors who backed their squad saw a 10-time return on their wager. Ka-ching! These types of bets highlight why it's worth it to lay an investment before the season begins. Check out mybookie.ag and use our code Mike O'Mara for a great deal. A bonus of up to $1,000 on that first deposit. That's a great way to start off the college football season. Playing with house money, baby. Don't ever miss out on the action. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime, only with MyBookie. Remember, MyBookie.ag and promo code Mike O'Mara. No spaces, no apostrophe. MyBookie, light them up! Whether you are a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey, what's your workout really going to need? What your workout really needs is Fitbod. It's a fitness app that customizes each workout based on your goals and adapts them as you improve. Fitbod tailors a personal workout based on your time and equipment. And whether you've got 10 minutes or 2 hours, Fitbod can help you get better with each workout. Fitbod creates a personalized workout routine based on your goals, fitness level, and available equipment. Fitbod tracks your muscle recovery so you can avoid burnout and keep your momentum up. It's like a personal trainer, but it's better, it's cheaper, it's easier to build a custom fitness plan that works for you, and you can add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today and get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/TMOS. That's fitbod.me/TMOS and try Fitbod today. All right, so Rob gave the fireworks.
That's I love the fireworks. Do you not want to do news here? Or
We'll do it in the third break.
Okay,
we'll do
perfect.
It in the third break.
Okay.
So, as I said before the break, we'll rearrange things. Remember, I said I was going to do the football thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, sometimes you postpone. Listen, I'm sorry.
Just go with your fireworks.
He wasn't listening.
What's that?
He was getting the music ready. He was getting ready for the commercial and the break. And
I understand. So, football.
So, no news here?
See, if his name was that, no. Anyway, so Michael, at the end of spring football,
right,
said, I don't think I want to play football. And at that particular time,
this is like April of this year?
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Spring.
Okay.
And then there's a bit of a break during the summer, and then the beginning of August, they start up again. And then he has said it and said it and said it and said it. And he, in the meantime, his buddies had a baseball league down in downtown Fort Myers, Florida, and that he wants to participate in. And at the same time, the G word, golf, is something that he has expressed an interest in. When you have kids this age, my philosophy of sports with them, I love them to participate in organized sports. I think it's great for kids. The second thing is that at a certain point, you've got to zero in on something and stay with it. And then the third thing was, once you commit to something, and I'm not talking about a lifetime, I'm talking about a season, you don't get out. You make the commitment and you do it. So it was a really painful decision, right, that Carla and I made this weekend when last week on his Wednesday night practice, he got leveled by a kid that, oddly enough, was his own size. But he'd been hit before by kids that were a lot larger. And we have been concerned for his well-being as far as the weight discrepancy. It used to be back in the day, this league he's in would base it on weight and not age. And now it's much different. And so
what is the age bracket he's part of?
12U, 12 under.
Okay.
12 and under, he just turned 11.
Yeah, because this is the age now, and I'm going through this with my little league starts today. So I'm going through that as I pick teams over the weekend or players. Where this is the age where the kids take the next step, where they get them ready for middle school ball, whether it's baseball, football, whatever. Okay. So they're pushing them a lot harder at this level.
And with that said, I think that commitment is commitment. And if you're not committed to do it, you're not committed to do it. But that's not really what went down. Wednesday night, he takes a really tough hit. And seems to be knocked down, and he's down on the ground. And they all once at one time or another they get knocked down. It's a tough sport. Yeah. It's a collision sport.
You
it
mentioned
happens.
This briefly that yes. you gave him a hard time about wanting to come out.
Just because I felt you need to do that to make sure that it's happening. But he ultimately did come out of the game.
You took him out.
Took him out of the practice, and I took him home.
Because he had tears, and you took him home early.
I took him home early. And last year, there was they call them Oklahoma drills. They're very difficult in football. They're pure contact, where one kid goes against another kid, and they slam into each other, and a kid got his collarbone.
Yeah, it's on the Vegas schedule.
Yeah.
They were designed by Rodgers and Hammerstein, these
drills. Oklahoma. And in fact, one of Michael's best friends got a broken collarbone. So at that age, that's pretty tough to watch that. Make a long story short, I take him out of practice. He takes Thursday off, and then as I found out, the Thursday practice was canceled due to lightning anyway. So he did not miss a practice. And I said, listen, you got to be honest with me. And he had trouble moving his shoulder Wednesday night and into Thursday. On Friday afternoon, when I pick him up from school, he says, the shoulder feels really, really good. I said, good enough that you want to go on Saturday? And he said, yeah, I want to go on Saturday. And he plays the whole game on Saturday.
Is that when he said, come on, Doc, give me a B12 shot?
Give me a B12 shot. That's what I need. That's from North Dallas 40, a famous football movie. He goes to his friends after the game for an overnight. And two things happened at the game. It was called a jamboree where they bring in teams from other areas. And there was one kid that they estimated was my son's a little over 100 pounds, like 106. Not a small 11-year-old at all. Mm-hmm. There was a kid they said was over 200 pounds on the other 12U team, one of the 12U teams that we played. There are kids that are redwoods on some of these teams. Don't ask me how. It was explained to
I can eat.
These
are just
big kids.
Okay.
This a coach explained to me that larger metropolitan areas have a larger number of kids, and we're in a small suburb.
Sure.
So that's really where it comes from. I always thought, is it because of diet? No, they have bigger kids to choose from, so they have waiting lists and they put them on. So thusly, you get a real wage, a real weight distribution problem. And I looked at that. So he goes to his friends after the game, goes to his friends overnight, one of his best buddies, looking forward to it, bouncing off the walls. He's so happy. We get a call at about 11:15 at night, and he's sobbing because he can't move his shoulder. And in the middle of this, I had looked at his shoulder, and he said it really hurts. And I saw the bruise that he had on it. And you can't tell, right? You're pressing all the vital areas and doing that. Between the week of not being able to move his shoulder around, then recovering, and then being hit again by a team that was just 50% larger, it seemed, than our team, and him also not making it known that he wants to play during his scholastic career, we pulled him. And, my wife and I discussed it. It was not easy. I don't like pulling out of anything. I don't like it. I don't like to be the case. And can you tell the sports guy that is totally not into what I'm talking about here?
Hey, Mike, that's not like, fair because you know what? I might not be a sports guy, but I am a parent, so I understand what you're going through. Yeah,
not sports. It felt like the right thing to do, and so that's it for now.
Whose idea was it to end and pull out? Was it you or Carla or Michael?
Who
brought it up first?
That's a good point. I think it was me.
So he wasn't even asking to quit.
Not on this particular night.
Right.
Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that goes a long way to, like, the whole point of you have to stick it out is to raise him to not be a quitter.
Right.
And when you're pulling him out because of fear of injury, basically, that's not quitting.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate that because you do have that teeny, not enough to matter, but a teeny tiny bit of, you know, guilt with that.
And
by the way, the plan was, seriously, all along, the plan was that this was going to be his final Pop Warner season, that he wasn't going to play. That I forgot to throw that in at the beginning. So my wife and I discussed it. We discussed it with Michael, and the decision was made that was the way it was going to go. And so he's no longer playing that. I think that he's a massive football guy. He loves it, loves watching it, loves supporting his team. I love it. I got to a point where I didn't feel like he was protected enough out on that field with larger kids based on the way the league's done. If it was done by weight and he was playing against kids his own weight, it would be a different. So it's still a collision sport.
There's still a variation that has not been examined. I don't know if they would do it, but instead of having 11 boys on each side, what if they went by total weight? And so you could get like, 200.
That's brilliant.
2,200 pounds
brilliant idea.
On each side. And that way, you know, you're like jockeys.
You'd have one 300-pound 12-year-old.
Right, exactly.
And then the rest of them would look like Tom Thumb. All around the whole day. So it really, I'm probably more of a deal for me than anybody in the family. That's why I'm coming in here talking about it, because I did feel that. We met some wonderful parents. There were some wonderful coaches. Just the nature of the talent pool to play for. Mm-hmm. He's in a skills position. He's playing a backup running back, and he's playing linebacker. He played full time running back during this game, and
like
not
Sam
only
Huff.
The big kids. It's just he's exposed all the time, and when you see a 140-pound, 150-pound kid in the open field running at your little guy, you got to kind of evaluate, is this kid going to be Division I? And we didn't think he was. So it's onward and upward. We'll keep him in sports, just not now this sport.
If the end was already in sight, if this was going to be his last season anyway, and he's messed up his shoulder to a point where he's in tears, there's no debate as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the discipline is what I loved about Pop Warner football. I loved the conditioning. I loved the discipline, and we're going to focus on that. And he knows it, too. I want him to feel just a tiny little pang of guilt in that. I want him to he's going to have to do a lot more working his butt off on his own now, and I want him to be motivated to do that. He is usually a self-motivated kid, and I want him to do that. So now, baseball numero uno, and followed by golf, and we'll see where that takes him.
If he loves football, flag football is growing extremely fast. It's now next Olympic sport.
He doesn't have the passion for that either. We'll see what happens, but that's a great idea. That's it. I know you love having your kids in sports, Josh, and I do too. And organized sports are just delightful for everybody concerned most of the time. And we will miss, especially the parents out there, because there's some wonderful, wonderful parents and wonderful coaches.
Ashley.
Was sitting with her family, and Carl and I were hanging out with them on Saturday. So I'm really, really going to miss that part of it.
There are a lot of activities, Mike, that have discipline as a big part of them, and it's just a matter of finding one he loves. You know, theater requires a lot of discipline.
I knew that was
coming. There are rehearsals. You have to learn lines. Yeah. There's trust in your co, right. Especially if you
dancing.
If you do dancing. Stage fighting. There's also improv.
Sure, improv is there.
Trust exercises. Crafting. Well, yeah. People
quilting.
Have to build sets. People right. have to make blankets.
Absolutely. Lighting.
Oh, Mike, you know. don't turn a side eye to lighting. That's the
how
key.
To run a follow spot.
Yes, exactly. Amen. You have to anticipate the movement of the singer.
So, new frontiers, and thanks to everybody, but I thought I'd pass that along because I felt like getting it off my chest.
No, I didn't mean to hit purged. That. I think that's great, though. You made a good decision.
This is Purge Day for Mike on the show. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will have the roundtable because some very interesting things happen in our world, and I will be sharing them with you because that's what I do, everybody.
You're not going to do an actual purge, are you?
No, that's...
like the movie? Yeah,
that's something we're going to do down here, though. It should be fun. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to talk about Liquid IV. You know how much I love it. The heat of summer is here, and your favorite summer treat could be giving you extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV has refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle, Firecracker, and Rainbow Sherbet that hit the spot when you need transformative relief all summer long. All summer long. Indulge in hydration with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients from the number one powdered hydration brand in America, Liquid IV. The secret is LIV HydroScience, the science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Check out five delicious sugar-free flavors. I love them. Raspberry melon, rainbow sherbet, white peach, green grape, and the one I have right here, lemon lime.
It's your old favorite, Mike. You
well,
love it.
Well, might say the white peach is my favorite, but I drank them all. And, well, that's true. The
all
hydration
right. it's
multiplier.
It's your favorite with present company.
cotton candy is another great flavor. They do yes. great with the flavors. I love them all. I love them dearly. Dearly. Hello, dear. Or grab a variety pack. Fun. Tear, pour, live more, indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
News. It's still news. Yep. News still happening. These are things that have just happened, Josh. You need to know them. There you go. There you go, mate. Keep as cool as you can.
Cool moody.
Hey, buddy.
This pisses me off, even though I have nothing to do with it. A sad new detail concerning the day of Matthew Perry's death was revealed in some new documents from the investigation. That day, Matthew's live-in assistant, Kenneth Iowamasa, injected him with ketamine effing times.
Jesus
damn it. Christ. 8:30 a.m., 12:45 p.m., and 1:30 p.m. Before that final injection, Matthew asked Iowamasa to, quote, shoot me up with a big one. After following that order, Iowamasa left Matthew in his hot tub while he ran some errands. When he returned, he found Matthew face down in the water. Ketamine. I mean, what, you're in recovery with... No, you're not. You're not recovered from anything if you're taking a medical-grade anesthetic. It's just not going to work for you.
You read his biography, Mike. Did you ever get the sense that in his adult life he was ever totally clean for any length of time?
I didn't. The one thing that I got out of that book was his amazing ability to describe the level and desperation of his addiction. And to be around people, it just pisses me off. Because...
Yeah.
That is a guy that probably had to have a handler, not an assistant,
a sober coach
with him 24/7, which people have had. People have had that have gone on to, you know, recover. We've got in my video segment today, we've got some very, very pointed commentary about Joe Walsh. That is his own struggle because everybody's different, as Rob would tell you. But It's fascinating to me to hear that. So it's just, it's depressing. His addiction was horrific, and who knows if he hadn't gotten it, he would have maybe done it on his own. You never know. Nobody knows.
I brought this up before, but he played Oscar Madison in a reboot of The Odd Couple shortly before he passed with Thomas Lennon. And you know what? It was a really fine show. They did some nice writing on it. But looking at him as that show progressed, it was hard to tell if he was playing Oscar as like almost dimwitted or if he was mentally altered while he was doing the show. And now it sounds like he was probably
on the ketamine the whole time he was
it's
there.
It's
so
sad. Well, this is so funny.
Right. Instead of that sober coach keeping him clean, he had a yes man.
Yeah. He had a yes man that was conspiring with doctors
to get him whatever he needed to keep kickbacks.
Bastards.
Right. So he doesn't argue with me. Give him whatever he wants.
Yeah. Exactly. Throw away the key for those dudes. I swear to God. Let's lighten it up here. There's been a lot of talk recently about how high heels are out, mostly because women these days prefer fashion that isn't painful. There was also a viral post about how high heels, quote, scream, try hard old person. That's the theme of today's show, by the way, being old. But if comfort is the issue, there's a new shoe on the scene. Listen to this.
Okay.
Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. You know that. Rob and I wear them every day.
Yes.
She has revealed a new shoe called Sneaks, which are high-heeled sneakers. She's been working on the concept for 9 years.
There's an old blues song called High-Heeled Sneakers. Put on your red dress, mama,
because
we're going out tonight.
They will finally debut tomorrow. Yes, Josh.
I can't. Did this really take her 9 years? Because this is about a five-minute job.
That's
the sneaker right there.
That's the sneaker.
Look at that thing.
With a heel glued on the back.
It's exciting. So exciting. The website sneaks.com is up. There are high-heeled sneakers made of leather, mesh, and suede. How soon before we see Rob and I in those high-heeled sneakers?
Huh? Falling down.
Unfortunately,
I can't walk on heels.
Are you kidding me? The retail prices range from $395 to $595.
Oy. Yes,
the pair I just showed was $410.
Give me a break.
High heel. They're high if they think we're going to spend that much money.
Sarah asked why she made sneaks. Well, obviously, to make money. Her next product, she said, have you ever worn high heels? Have you?
This still doesn't look comfortable.
No.
I don't know. I like that one.
Well,
it's the same shoe, just green.
Does it come in wide?
Yeah, we'll get you a pair for Vegas.
Thank you.
I already bought
my shoes for Vegas.
Maybe we should get those are too expensive. If we can get a promotional pair sent to Mrs.
We'll
O'Mara.
Get some knockoffs off Timu.
Timu. You mentioned Timu a lot. You did.
Mike, I bought some stuff for the Vegas show from Timu that will be here in like 15 to 20 business days. I have never used Timu before, but it's so cheap. Even if it's a disaster, it doesn't matter.
You know why it's 15 to 20 days? Because it's coming from a land far away.
Yeah, that sounds fast.
Yeah, where is it?
Far away.
China.
There's some new data out which shows the airports with the longest walks. And some of them really force you to get your steps in. I've been in them.
Can I guess one?
You may.
Denver.
Oh, that's a good guess.
In the top five, Rob Spiewak.
Yes, thank you.
The top five. It's worth noting the distances are just from the baggage check-in area to the farthest gates. The distances could be even longer between two gates on opposite ends.
Sure.
I'll start with number five. Yes, go ahead.
Does it take into account trains? Because a few of these airports have trains,
trams.
You don't have to walk as far, or trams.
Yeah, trams or trains. I don't
know.
Denver
has a steam train, which is great.
Number five, JFK. Longest distance, 1.38 miles. Number four, the one Rob mentioned, Denver International. Longest distance, 1.45 miles. My wife was in this next one over the weekend. Number three, George Bush International. Wouldn't be prudent. In Houston, Texas, longest distance, 1.52 miles. But great food at that airport. If you want good food in an airport,
Papa Dough.
Bush is wonderful. Number two, there it is. old home, Washington Dulles International Airport. Yeah.
What a disaster from the minute they put a shovel in the dirt. That place has been a total
longest distance, 1.62 miles, ladies and gentlemen.
Take the people mover.
And we have not had a guess at number one. Would either one of you like to guess number one, numero uno?
Yeah, it's got to be Fort Myers.
Off the plane in your car.
I was going to say Atlanta.
Atlanta's not on there. It's a good guess. Really good guess.
LAX, because they're always developing and spreading out.
Wrong.
Ah, I
guess. Dallas-Fort Worth International. Longest distance, 2.16 miles.
God, by the time you've walked that far, you're already at your destination.
Isn't that amazing?
Might as well just walk. No, it's horrible.
So be aware that wear comfortable shoes. I recommend the high-heeled sneakers.
In all green. Right?
Get that done. In a lovely Kelly green. Halle Berry. Halle, I just want to say before I share this news story with everybody, I'm here for you. I'm here for you, okay? Really. Halle Berry.
You're nice with your wife. Don't say that.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do. Halle Berry is requesting full custody of her 10-year-old son, Maceo, right?
M-A-C-E-O would be Maceo.
Really?
Sure? Don't you remember from James Brown's band? Maceo, take me to the bridge.
Maceo. Deo.
Different artist.
Anyway, she and her ex-husband, Oliver Martinez, currently have joint custody, but Halle pays $8,000 a month in child support and covers school expenses. Halle and Oliver got married in July of 13. In November of 15, they announced their divorce, and it was finalized in 2016. Halle says Oliver's turbulent and detrimental behavior negatively affects their son, who now has serious behavior and learning problems. She also alleges that Oliver prioritizes Maceo's soccer schedule over schoolwork and refuses to get him a tutor because it would interfere with soccer practice. She claims he also tells Maceo about his relationship problems with Halle, so when it's time for Maceo to return to his mom, he's angry. That's not cool if he's really doing that. Halle wants Maceo full-time so he can have full control, so she can have full control of his education and therapy to get him back on track. I'm on Team Halle.
She's made a lot of movies in the past, but I don't think I've seen much of her lately. So I just checked her net worth, and I know you have to take them with a grain of salt on the internet.
Yes, right.
$90 million.
$90
million. Halle Berry. Yeah,
that'll get you to soccer practice and the tutor, as far as I'm concerned. And finally today, a Texas woman was awarded a Guinness World Record title for the surprising contents of her mouth. She has a 3.11-inch wide tongue. Her
sexy
name? It will fascinate you.
Yes.
Brittany Lacayo told the record-keeping organization she decided to apply for the title after learning about the former record holder, Emily Schenkler.
Schenkler?
It's Schlenker.
Yeah, you bet it is.
It's Schlenker, whose tongue measured 2.89 inches. Lacayo's tongue is exactly as wide as the average length of an adult woman's tongue, 3.11 inches. Her tongue actually is wider than it is long when measured from the epiglottis. That's the flap of cartilage located behind the tongue. It's neat and kind of funny, Lacayo told Guinness.
Yeah.
The male version of the record belongs to American Brian Thompson, whose tongue measures 3.49 inches wide.
Oof.
Wide tongues are not uncommon, and they do have some benefits like self-bathing, faster ice cream cone consumption, and much louder Bronx cheers. Thank you. Thank you. That was mine.
It's been years since you've used the phrase Bronx cheer.
Bronx cheer. I did a lot of that on the weekend.
And gentlemen, she's single.
She's single. We will take a break. And wow, that's beautiful video.
Great video.
We'll do that when we come back. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, remember the old days when you went shopping? You had to go to a different store for every single thing you wanted. I can't tell you how many times a young DJ named Mike O'Mara wasted an entire day at the mall. I had to go to Chess King, Bloomingdale's, Spencer Gifts, Cinnabon, Claire's, and then wrap it up, as I always did, with the Gap. Phew! Thank God times have changed, and everything you need can now be purchased at MikeOMaraShow.com in our store. Amazing shirts with new designs arriving daily. Hats, coinage, and all the tickets, info, and merch for you to join us for the Grand Reunion Las Vegas weekend. November 9th is right around the corner, so hurry up and support the show you love. By the way, a new commercial for our live Las Vegas show will be coming this week. And Rob Spiewak, I can only tell you one thing about yes. that commercial. Think Pablo Cruz.
Oh, I hear you. I think I know where we're headed.
Yeah. I knew you would. Every yeah. purchase keeps the laughs coming. Just click store at MikeOMaraShow.com, the source for all things TMOS, official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our motto, Rob.
Screw you, Tyson's Corner Center.
Bada bing.
Hey, I like that.
Bada boom.
Beautiful video.
Beautiful video.
You don't need to go to the mall anymore, Mike. You don't need to go to Orange Bowl.
I have a favorite store at the mall that I go to. It's
what's that?
The Greg Norman store. I never thought I'd be a Greg Norman guy, but you know, he used to have clothes that I'd yell about because they were too skinny. And now I'm
he's
a,
not
a
terribly
visitor.
Skinny guy, is he?
Yeah, he's svelte. He's always been a svelte dude.
Mm.
We start today, ladies and gentlemen, with a lady who's wizened, a little bitter, but she has a
love the word wizened.
A great take on getting old. We'll have two takes on getting old in the video segments today. This is the first one. Check out this this lady right
here. In the mirror a little while ago, thinking how I used to be so young and beautiful. Now I'm just beautiful. The best thing about getting older is nothing. It sucks. Shaving my legs wears me out. On a happy note, my leg hair grows slower now, which is great. That gives me time to deal with all this newly acquired facial hair from hell. I still have my hourglass figure, though, but the sand shifted. I lost weight, went from a 38D to a 36 long, which is kind of a bonus because I don't have to buy bras now. I can just tuck those puppies in the elastic waistband of my old lady pants or roll them up and put them in a tube top. My mind thinks I'm 25, but my body thinks I'm an idiot. I threw out my back sleeping, tweaked my neck sneezing. I swear I'm just one strong fart away from total paralysis. The last time I sprang into action was when my recliner broke.
There it
I
is.
I like her.
Isn't that
I
nice
like
take?
Her.
I don't know who she is, but I sure love that. You know what I also love, Rob Spiewak?
What's that?
Drum lines. No explanation. I just love me drum
well,
lines.
Well, you're a drummer, so let's see. Yeah. Beautiful.
Now, that's Mike, the Blue Devils. I'm not sure if that was the Duke Blue Devils or a high school team named the Duke the Blue Devils. Sorry.
Obviously, that's a different style of drumming than like rock and roll drumming or jazz. But at the level that that kid was just drumming, how do you rate that skill?
I love it.
As a
I
drummer?
Love it. They're very skilled. They have to audition to get into these drum lines. I love seeing the ladies get into the drum lines too. More of that. I love the co-ed drum lines. They're fantastic. And they're just cool. There's so many.
When
I,
you were watching
that's what
it,
pops up on my feed. Yeah.
When you're watching it, do you always say, not my tempo?
Yeah, just like, let me see. J.K. Simmons. I finally know him by heart. He's got a horror movie out where he plays an absolute sick killer, and he's great. He's great in everything he does. Now, listen, we talked before about substance abuse and Matthew Perry and the enablers around him that killed him, and I really do hope they throw the book at him. One of the most famous addicted individuals is one of the greatest guitar players in rock and roll, if not the greatest guitar player. Certainly when it comes to musicality, this guy has created licks that everybody will remember forever. His name is Joe Walsh. He's talking here to Sammy Hagar, and he's talking about addiction and booze addiction. And Rob Spiewak, I welcome your take on this.
Okay,
take a
I'd
look
love
at
to see
with
this.
Joe
yeah.
Walsh.
Well, if you have problems in your life that are directly the result of alcohol or whatever substance you're doing.
Yeah, they're all drugs.
You have a problem. And at some point, you work for it it doesn't work for you anymore. And very subtly, without you noticing, whatever you're on will convince you that you can't do anything without it. And then it's gotcha, right? And I chased it for 30 years. And it wasn't working for me. And I thought, oh, well, obviously I'm not drinking nearly enough. And that wasn't it.
Well, I couldn't say it any better than that.
I needed help. And the hardest thing to do, the phone can weigh 30 pounds, pick up the phone and ask for help. Because there's life after addiction, and it's good.
But, wow, Joe, that's beautiful.
And don't drink drunk. That's my first rule. Okay.
That was beautiful. When it rules you, that's a big deal. Hitting bottom, pick up the phone. Well, that's all I can say.
I love Sammy Hagar. I think he is a genuinely decent human being. And I think Joe Walsh was so addled and so addicted, and he is a treasure. And the fact that he is still around is incredible. I welcome your take on what he had to say about alcohol addiction.
It's scary how accurate it is.
Okay.
It's what happens. The turning point for me is when getting a drink at the end of the day was becoming an actual priority. It goes from something you do to something that you kind of look forward to something that is a ritual. And then the last phase for me was it was a priority. I've got to finish this up so I can get a drink. I could probably drink if I was editing something, say, in the evening. I said, I could probably have a few beers while I do that. And no, you can't do that. It's you're broken. You, when you're having your kids drive you home from dinner because they have a license and that's fine. But that's disgusting that you do that, that you're prioritizing essentially drinking over, your kids. That's wrong. And yeah, I did not really need to pick up the phone and ask for help. I'm not saying that I won't ever have to do that.
You did it your way.
I did it my way. I talked to people, talked to doctors, talked to friends, but I never did the program, but if I get to a point where I need it, I've got no problem with it. I would be there in a second.
Buddy,
because he's right. It's better. It's better on the other side.
I have to tell you, I love you, and I, as far as this is concerned, this part of your life, I am so frickin' proud of you that you had this problem, that you dealt with it, that you're still alive,
yeah,
and that you came out on the other side, and I can look at you every day and and see it, and it is it's not easy to deal with, but you did. And for all the people that have come out on the other side of it, congratulations. And I think it's spectacular.
One of the most rewarding things is when I was on vacation, I had lunch, we had an extended family lunch, and one of the first things my cousin Joyce says to me is, look at you, you look so healthy. And it's just, that's not,
you do.
I mean, I've been skinny, I've been fat, I've had a lot of looks, but
right.
I don't usually get you look healthy. And that was a very sweet thing to hear. So thank you.
How long's it been?
29 months as of last Friday.
Over 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. Let's skip the next drumming one. We'll do that in another time. Josh, I want to jump right ahead to a couple of comedians here. Sorry for the editing, folks, but we do make this available to KCJJ. A lot of people ask about that all the time. But this got some cussing on it, so be mindful of that. More on getting old with one of our favorite new comedians, and then we'll have another classic bit from a comedian. This is Nikki Glaser talking about growing
so
old.
Good.
I love everything she does. Let's take a look.
You're younger than me. Girls in your 20s and 30s. I forgot how old I am. I'm in my late 30s, okay? I'm in my latest 30. And so, hold on. But yeah, you will age, everyone. All girls in your 20s, you will age. I know you think you won't. I used to be like you. You'd look at women like me or older, and you just kind of go like, that's so sad what's happening to her neck. Like, that's such a bummer. That's not going to happen to me. Like, I don't know. I just don't want to age. I just don't feel like it.
She's awesome.
I know my mom and grandmother did, but, like, our generation's different. Like, I want to travel, you know? No, you're going to age. You will. This area, this soul, I know you
see
this.
Her chin.
Oh, no. But that's your future, man. Your neck is also going to look like an old tarp next to your dad's shed. This is all falling down.
Tarp.
It will. Please keep vaping. Please. Please keep vaping. Everything goes. This buttress falls, your eyelids. I actually sent a picture of my eyelids for the inspiration for this backdrop.
She's that pointing to her curtain.
That's my upper eyelid. It's my left labia.
And
she's a magical mix of drop dead funny and beautiful. I love watching
her
work.
Okay, now you're creeping me out.
Well,
you're gorgeous.
You have to admit most comedians, male or female, are not very good looking. Oh. And she is.
Absolutely. Have you ever been to a Paul Rodriguez show? Get out of here. That's not true.
My top two would be her and Jeff Ross.
Finally, speaking of comedians, a man who's no longer with us. And there are people in our audience that have probably never seen this man perform. But I give you the moment I saw this bit and I became a passionate Sam Kinison fan. This, at the time, was so edgy. And so controversial, but so funny at the same time. And sorry about the edits, but let's take a look at Sam Kinison, what turned me into a fan of his. This classic bit from Sam Kinison.
Stop world hunger. Stop sending them food. Don't send these people another bite, folks. You want to send them something? You want to help? Send them U-Hauls. Send them U-Hauls, some luggage, and send them a guy out there that goes, hey, you know, we've been driving out here every day with your food for like the last, 30, 40 years. And we were driving out here a day across the desert, and it occurred to us there wouldn't be world hunger if you people would live where the food is! This is sand. Yeah. It's sand. You know it's going to be 100 years from now, huh? It's going to be sand!
There it is, wow. Ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a break and come back.
I think I'm
going to
start wearing a long coat.
Yeah. Hey, you did for a while, right?
Well,
you did
not on stage. I just had a long coat when it was cold.
We got more of audio. That's beautiful.
That's beautiful video.
And audio, too. See, I listen to my listeners. We'll be right back, everybody. Do you know where your box of old home movies is? Have you checked that box in a while to make sure they aren't too hot, damp, or molding?
Ugh.
Mold. Ooh. All that old media breaks down over time, and if not preserved, it will be lost forever. Besides, do you even have a VCR or film projector? No way, Jose.
No way. They don't
even make VCRs anymore. Luckily, Legacy Box is easy. Load up a Legacy Box with your old tapes, film, and pictures, and send them back. It's so simple, it's like magic. Their team professionally digitizes everything by hand right here in the good old USA. You'll get it back on a thumb drive or the cloud along with your originals. Don't let this summer heat age your videotapes, film reels, and fade your photos. Fade a photo. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to shop their $9 tape sale. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS to unlock this incredible offer. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are delighted to have you here. Tickets still available to Lost Wages Nevada, where we will be on stage at the Citrus Pool Deck. And we'd love to have you out there. So get your tickets, get your hotel rooms. It's coming up. That time on the wall, that clock on the wall is going to start speeding up. Tick-tock, time's a fleet. And Rob Spiewak, over to you. I know you've got some beautiful
Mike,
variety.
Hard to describe what I've got, but I guess you could say it is...
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Now, I know you love your J-Lo. And there is a trend on the TikTok right now called Demure, and I think it's meaningful, where they... They want to be present and classy and not over the top. And J-Lo discusses how to be demure while drinking basically a bottle of wine out of the bottle.
Okay. Drink from the bottle, very demure.
We have all
three. Very mindful.
Mindful, not me.
I just don't, just like all the way down, just little by little. Very elegant. Swelling
sips.
Demure. Mindful.
If I met her in person,
yes,
I would seriously go, I would be tongue-tied. She is that much of a presence. She's got a presence.
You need to be, Mike.
Really,
you've got to be demure and you've got to be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of these videos coming up. Show you how I can be demure and mindful eating an entire turkey. It's beautiful.
Just, with your hands.
With your pinky out. Yeah, always nice.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yum, yum.
I don't normally side with big business, but on this one, I do. There is a trend in New York City to kind of monetize the people that go to a coffee shop and hang out there all day.
If you thought living in New York City was expensive, now we must pay to take our laptops out at coffee shops. And that's not free anymore. That's not a free right in our community. This place is charging $10 a day, $30 a month, or $300 a year for you to be able to use your laptop that you pay for and sit there in their cafe to use their Wi-Fi. And I totally get like buying something at the cafe.
No, you don't.
Hold on. What if you go in? What if they require you to have a beverage? Don't some of them do that anyway? That's legit. Right?
Yeah, but one beverage and people will be there for 8 hours, and that is taking up space, and that
Come on.
You don't think so?
No, that's legit, and this is a young person thing where they think they have rights for everything instead of they're going into a private business and asking to use their Wi-Fi.
You're both wrong. Let them get their latte and sit there as long as they want, for Christ's sake.
She started it with, we don't have the right to bring our laptop anymore. And use their chairs, their tables, their building, their Wi-Fi.
Restrooms. Yeah, and you know she's using the restroom all day.
I'm for the young people, you monsters. No, I get it. I understand. Yeah. I don't care. I won't let myself die on that hill, as they like to say in argument.
Mike, Ernesto has gone from a tropical storm back to a hurricane. And
this is the one that went out to sea, right?
Yeah, but it's back. And bad news for the people in the Outer Banks. You think when you build your house up on sticks, you're going to be okay.
Josh. Oh, no.
I saw this video over the weekend.
No. Look at that. The sea just encroaching on
Totally. It washes out to sea. It's a house.
Incredible. Look, it's everywhere, folks.
Yeah.
This is sea level. That's what this is all about. Incredible. Was anywhere near you, Josh, where you were in that part?
No, I believe that was a lot further south.
Okay, further south. Yeah, see, it's the Southerners that got it this time. Watch out, right? We missed it.
Well, Mike, you're a Southerner. You're much further south than the Outer Banks.
We are further south than the Outer Banks.
Never mind. Let's close with this. I think this is great news.
When they go out to sea, Rob, from Florida, when they take that right turn, we kind of go the way the rest of the country feels about us. Nobody gives a rat's ass when they come to Florida. If they don't live in Florida, they don't care.
Yeah, well, thank God it wasn't north of you in Georgia, or, you know, south of you in Mexico, or perhaps west of you in California.
Those Southerners.
Southerners, yeah.
Right, that's
Colonel.
The Keys, and about that, that's it.
That's it, yeah. Goes down to the Keys, I don't care either.
Mike, this is good news. They were trying to figure out who was going to host the Emmys this year, and Kimmel didn't want to do it, and it's sort of a thankless gig.
Can we get James Corden back?
To what? Throw rocks at him? No. They did so much better than that. They've actually got a dual hosting ship, and it's Eugene and Dan Levy. I was always more of an
SCTV. I like his son. His son was great on Schitt's Creek. Really,
I've always been more of an SCTV guy than an SNL guy, and so it's exciting for me to see Eugene get some credit here. But this is them hosting the SAG Awards. I think 20 months ago.
So they've done the gig before as a duo.
They've done the SAG Awards.
The father son duo.
Yeah,
they both don't turn down jobs.
Well, I think Eugene doesn't turn down jobs.
Okay.
But this is great. This is talking about how it could get awkward at the SAG Awards.
Male actor in a comedy
series. Yes. And how awkward would this be for you if I was nominated and you had to announce someone else as the winner?
Yeah, that would be very awkward. But yeah. Fortunately for me, you're not nominated.
Good. Good.
Yes.
Dodged a bullet on that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the actors who are nominated in this category are truly at the top of their game. In fact, no male actors on television have ever been funnier than these nominees. They have shown a mastery over the art of comedy. They have tap danced on our funny bones in ways that no other male comedic actor has ever done before. Yeah. They are legends. They are personal role models of mine.
I think they get it. Okay. I think they get it.
Sure.
I think they get it. They're all
He's playing
all
it so
okay.
well.
Yeah. Isn't he? Here are the nominees outstanding male actor
they're
in
all
a comedy
funny.
Series.
Sorry.
That I love the rubbing of the head. I mean, he did it. He underplayed it, which was fun. That was fun
He's
to watch.
He's the best. Easy, He's the best. Anyway, that's all I got for you today, but we'll come back again tomorrow.
Well, thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for letting me vent a little bit on the show without a rant. There's a vent, and then there's a rant. Rant, vent. Vent, rant. Vent, rant, rant, vent. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. And then later on in the week, I begin my not one, two-day colonic cleanse. That's going to be fun to talk about. We'll see you then,
ladies and gentlemen. And people should know it's not for a procedure. It's just another way you're keeping the show fresh.
And fresh. Yeah, in more ways than one. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
You lost again.
At what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.
Mike is very, very, very attractive.